This class is a landmark class. It is a result of the preparation that Spirit has given us to accept infinity as the self of all. It is a result of all that Joel has put into his many years of teaching. It is a result of all the efforts that you have mustered up to get to this very point. And that landmark is now beckoning to us, saying, I'm about to give you your reward. In this spiritual message, there are many, many blessings. Every challenge that we meet successfully is a blessing. Every time we are taken into a higher level of consciousness is a blessing. And when we feel an inner expansion and know that we are passing from one level of consciousness to another, we have that inner excitement that is beyond words. But above all this, nothing in the world can take the place or equal the shock and the ecstasy when part of your mortality peels away and you feel a new birth, a sense of an immortal you being born, realized. I suppose it could be compared to ripe fruit falling from the vine. Suddenly it's ripe. It's at its peak. It's ready to eat. And so too, we are now ripe. We are ready for a new birth, a new beginning, a rebirth into a higher area of consciousness. We are now ripe to fall off the vine of mortality. For verily, the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. Spirit has ordained us to rise from the dead, to awaken from the sleep of mortality. Joel said something very interesting on page 23 of Living Between Two Worlds. I'd like to read it to you. Each one of us who has come this far on the path has an obligation to the world. That obligation is to open our consciousness continuously until we receive the Spirit of God, until it is let loose within us, and until it takes over our life and frees us from the sense of self-preservation and lifts us, if possible, into the way revealed by Christ Jesus of laying down our life that someone else may live. It is not taking someone else's life that we may live, or taking someone else's property that we may prosper. We lay down our life that others may live. I wonder how many readers of that paragraph walked by on the other side and decided, that's kind of nice for Joel, but I'm not quite ready to do that. Especially the part about laying down my life that others may live. Yes, we still have some literal readers with us, don't we? What did you think when you read that? Did you say you're not ready to lay down your life, or you are? Did you recognize that that was the invitation of Spirit to you for your inner baptism? That Spirit was saying, stop living a double life. Let your mortal life go, that you may walk the earth unseparated, unconditioned, illumined, one with God, as the immortal light of Christ. Did you catch that subtle invitation to your spiritual baptism? Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, lay down your life, and Christ shall give thee light. I think the meaning of that phrase was not too apparent to most of the readers. And it probably would not be apparent to traditionalists in the world of religion. Because I haven't seen too many people laying down their life. Perhaps the biggest disappointment was, long before Joel made that statement, the biggest disappointment was mankind not being able to see the real mission of Jesus Christ. Many who have stood on the pulpit using his name so freely have not known that the mission of Jesus Christ was not just to take man away from evil deeds into righteous deeds, out of sin into doing good. They have not known that the mission of Jesus Christ was to reveal the immortality of man. And as a result, the Christ's message, Christianity itself, has entered the mind of man, but not the heart of man, not the soul of man. We have confused human goodness with divine perfection, divine love. We haven't picked up our mortal beds. We have not let the dead bury the dead. We have not entered the straight gate that leadeth unto life. The truth, the glorious, revolutionary truth that has been ignored and overlooked by most traditional teachers of the Christian message for the past 90 or 20 centuries. Is that God God did not create mortal life. That is the hard, absolute truth that mankind has never been taught by its teachers. God created only immortal life. The mission of Christ was to teach and demonstrate this radical truth. Awake from mortality is the Christ message. Mortal life must go. And why? Because there is no mortal life. It never existed. Only immortal life exists. The life of God is immortal. Like begets like. Immortal life begets immortal life. Immortal God individualizes as immortal spiritual man. And then when Christ declares, I and my Father are one, Christ is stating, I am the immortal life of my immortal Father. When Moses announces, I am that I am, he is announcing that immortality is his reality and the reality of all mankind. And when God declares to man, Son, all that I have is thine, he is announcing, my immortal life is your immortal life. One immortal life without opposite is the secret message of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It's the secret teaching of Christ to all races, to all nations, to all colors and creeds, and it is the secret of man's salvation from the false yoke of death. That is why today is a landmark. We are emerging from the hypnosis of mortality. We are doing it this very minute. And the Spirit of God, which is raising us from the dead, will never let us turn back. For as much as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver, or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at. But now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. These were the words of Paul, reminding us and the philosophers of Athens that all human thought is powerless to break the cosmic dream of matter. To live by direct impartation from God is your repentance, not by human thought. This is the divine plan to awaken man to his present immortality. Let us savor this moment as we stand on the threshold of a new way of life. Let us know the truth. There is one Creator, God. There is no other Creator. Immortal God created only immortality, and therefore mortality is a myth. All mortal life is a myth. There is no mortal life on this earth. Wherever you see mortal life, immortal life stands, waiting for your five senses to be still, so that your Christ mind can honor the immortal life hidden by the mortal image. Right where you move now, in a mortal sense of body, the immortal life of God stands on holy ground. One immortal life stands where the entire human race appears to be. And when you acknowledge this truth, accept it, realize it, live by it, for you, the illusion of death is overcome forever. We are abiding now in the Sabbath of the senses, the holy silence. Every time you do, whether you are aware of it or not, whether you hear a voice or not, you are attuned to the infinite. And the will, the wisdom of the one infinite source will be blessing you. Beyond measure. I, says the Spirit, was never born. The infinite I of your being was never born. It is your immortal life. You have no beginning. You have no end. You always lived because you are life. And you always will live. The immortal life of God and your immortal life are one life, unseparated forever, indestructible forever, ageless and deathless forever. In the silence of your consciousness, identify now as the one immortal life. Cease ye from man, from mortal life. It is a concept without a creator. Cease ye from identifying yourself as a physical form whose breath is in your nostrils. Immortal life is always free. never confined to form. You are not confined to a physical form. You are infinite, immortal life, without boundary in space or time. You have always been alive. You were immortal life before Abraham appeared on earth. You were immortal life while Moses was writing the Old Testament. You were immortal life before your mother conceived a fetus that slowly transformed into the appearance of your mortal flesh. Your immortal life was never inside your mother's womb, and it is not now inside your physical form. Your immortal life is free. It can never be confined. It can never be destroyed by any mortal object or by any so-called mortal force. Rise, take up thy bed, take up your false concept of mortality, and walk in your immortal life. This has been the truth about you ever since the first day that you came forth from your mother's womb. It was the truth of your parents and of their parents, going all the way back through every generation. Mortals have wrongly thought that they were begetting mortals. But there are no mortals, only mental images. Always God has been saying, I am one immortal life, I am the invisible life of all who walk the universe, and beside my immortal life there is no other. Now we can understand why John the Beloved said the following words and put them at the very beginning of his gospel. Now they reveal to us the message that the world has passed by. In the beginning was the Word. That Word was Christ. That Word was immortal life. The immortal life of Christ is the Word. All things were made by God. And without God was not anything made that was made. In God was the Word. In God was immortal life. And the immortal life was the light of men. Where is that taught? What services have you attended anywhere where you were taught that the immortal life of God is the light of men? Where has John been interpreted in truth? The immortal life, called Christ, was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Does your soul hear that? The immortal life called Christ was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Immortal life was in the world, and the world was made by immortal life, and the world knew him not. But listen carefully. As many as received immortal life, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. As many as received immortal life, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now what does he mean by as many as received immortal life? We were all given it. We all received it. So the word received does not mean the standard meaning of received. It means who accepted what they had received. As many as accepted the immortal life they had received, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. As we accept the immortal life which was bestowed upon us before the world was, before human birth, which has never left us, we are born of God. And I defy any power on this earth to destroy that which is born of God. An immortal life was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of immortal life. The only life born of God, full of grace and truth. There is no other life born of God except immortal life. That is why we are the image and likeness of God, because we are the immortal life of God. This immortal life of all men, before Abraham, appearing to men as Christ Jesus, was the life of Jesus before he was immaculately conceived by Mary. First, he was created as the life of God. Then, even before he was named Jesus, he was the life of God. And similarly, first, you were created as the life of God, even before you appeared in this century. Immortal life is the firstborn of every creature. And this is the invisible life of God, which is the firstborn of every member of the human race. The unillumined, who are not taught by God, live mortal lives. The illumined, who have attained contact with higher consciousness, live their immortal life now. They have crossed over from death to life. They have awakened from the dead. This understanding, the acceptance of immortal life now, unites you with the Infinite Father, attunes you to infinite love, transforms the material earth to the eternal spiritual creation. You are reborn of the Spirit, Christed, ordained as a living Son of God on earth. Unfortunately, man has been taught that the kingdom of heaven is a place, but it isn't. The kingdom of heaven is immortal life. And the moment you live consciously as immortal life, you are in the kingdom, under perfect government of the kingdom. This world is mortal life, but my kingdom is not of this world. But my kingdom is here now. And my kingdom is your immortal life here now, which you can and must live in now to be free. I am the life, said Christ. I am come. I am here. I am immortal life standing before you. I am demonstrating the miracle of immortal life to manifest before your eyes that immortal life is available on earth for all men. And for every newborn infant, through the enlightened consciousness of the parents. Are you looking for the resurrection? You have it. One immortal life is your resurrection. Lay down your mortal sense of life. Pick up your immortal life. Behold, immortal life lived by your Christ mind makes all things new. Man never fell. He forgot that before human birth he was immortal. But while he accepted life in form and drifted to his death, immortal life remained. It never went away. It never changed. For God never changes. God never goes away. I, immortal life, am with you always. Accept me. This truly is the secret message of Christ, that God is now the immortal life of man and that no other life is on this earth. He demonstrated it so many times to our unseeing eyes. Immortal life was the reality of the girl in a coma, the reality of the dying nobleman's son, the reality of the dead body of a boy in a coffin at Nain, the reality of Lazarus, and the reality of Christ Jesus. The realization of immortal life produced the miracles. And the greatest miracle is that you do not have to wait for the return of Jesus to accept your immortal life and live it now. Is possible and mandatory. The immortal life of you is the Christ of your being, the living Father within, your undying self. Your immortal life, called I, has already overcome the world. I have overcome the tree of good and evil. I have overcome everything, false and unlike God. Why do you tolerate the appearance of evil. I have overcome the world mind and the five deceiving senses of man. I, immortal life, am the Savior. Come unto me, surrender your mortality. I will give you living fountains of eternal life. We can rise now to the immortal state of consciousness, to the immortal life, and let God unfold from the center of our being. We can lift the immortal eye. We can reject all five sense images of mortality and mortal imperfections because they are not there. Are you ready to apply all this? Let us see what Spirit has in mind. The non-existence of mortal life is the acceptance that immortal God is one. The child of God is immortal life, and in meditation now we can know that immortal life is your name, your secret identity, and that there is no flaw in your immortal life. Every defect, every flaw, every disturbance reported by your sense mind is false. You are not getting older. You do not have headaches. You do not feel an occasional tremor over your heart. You are living an immortal sense of life. None of this is happening in your only life, your immortal life. World mind is trying to hypnotize you into the belief that your life is mortal. And if you resist, if you respond, then you are accepting both good and evil, and you are denying that you are the perfect immortal life. Instead, know that God created only immortal life, here and there, and then be still. Remember Joel saying he never had a patient? That is because he recognized no mortals, only perfect immortal life appearing through our five senses as mortal life. We see and experience what God did not place there. When we stop treating the symptoms and focus on immortal life only, the healing grace performs the miracle of one life. Yes, it's a healing principle, but it's more than that. It's a divine way of life. You can apply it to every problem in your life, to business relationships, human relationships, whatever. For example, just a typical case of clients and prospects. There's one dimension missing. If you start with yourself as immortal life, feel it, believe it, know it, and then extend that immortal life to your prospects and clients until you have nothing but one immortal life, if you remain in the womb of silence with that knowledge, that truth will be born in your consciousness and then it will externalize as the truth. And the truth will, of course, express the harmony of that one immortal life. You might call it a sail, but it will be truth in consciousness, immortality, expressing as harmony between the appearance of two or three mortals. Try it. Try it in legal transactions. Try it in domestic relationships. Try it in parent-child relationships. Try it in your community. Every Bible miracle is a manifestation of this one dynamic divine principle. One immortal life alive in your consciousness, practiced daily, never denied, will activate that immortal life in all that concerns you, and it will reward you with its living presence. So today we have learned that mortality is a false state of being. When the deception is understood, and we return to the Father's immortal house, then we are moving on the royal road to transition. Yes, we can do all things through Christ, the immortal life of God, accepted here and now. The myth of personal mortal selfhood must vanish. This is our inner crucifixion, our spiritual baptism. In place of mortality stands spirit man, perfect as his Father, living forever in the rhythm of one divine will. To be with you, sharing this consciousness, knowing the truth of one undivided, infinite, immortal life, is one of the greatest joys known to man. For this will make us free. In the oneness of you and God, infinite spiritual grace must appear as form. The lost years of the locust, the years of sense hypnosis, must dissolve. So I say to you now, self to self, soul to soul, stand in the one immortal life. Treasure it, cherish it, let it express, claim it, never deny it. God be with you. Aloha from the Isle of Rainbows called Kauai.